This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you in part by Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, you can get a great portfolio, blog, website of any kind with wonderful responsive design, tools to help you sell stuff, and more. Get a free trial now, and when you like it, and we know you will, use the code MORNING at checkout for 25% off your account. That's 25% off at Squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, it's Bacon Week, and you have no idea.
Bob Costas got a poopy in his eye.
I don't know why that I wasn't prepared to hear that again, but I actually wrote it and made me laugh. Mice will help us understand why we get high and why it gives us the munchies.
Shirley Temple
died few days ago.
You wrote Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. Temple. Child star of the 30s.
That's right, with the clothing line. Shirley Temple died yesterday.
You have a call. Oh, wait, sorry. You have to call Justin Bieber Bizzle now.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Star Trek Super Phaser 2 target game uses 1 9-volt and 2 penlight batteries, not included. It signals when you hit the target reflector badge. You can hang the target almost anywhere. Flash the phaser. It's a silent beam of light that signals when you score a hit on the target.
You missed! I hit it! I hit the target!
The Star Trek Super Phaser 2 target game includes phaser and target reflector badge from MIGO.
You'll break your arm.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, the Thursday Morning Stream for Thursday, February 13, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ebbett.
Hello.
We sound like we're like the Binars. Screwing up your ship.
That's right.
You know, one thing you can say about this show, and I don't just mean the Star Trek Trek, a Stump a Trek Nerd thing we do. I can't even think what that's called today. Stump a Trek Nerd. But we sure have a lot of, like, there's a good portion of Star Trek in every show we do. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
comes
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Well, if the number 4 comes up at all.
Yeah. I guess so.
Four.
Right.
Shirley Temples.
44 and number 47. Anytime a glad plastic trash bag comes up, we think of Tasha Yar and her untimely death.
Right.
Shirley Temple. Anyway.
The Horta comes up at least, you know, 3 times a week.
Yeah. There's lots of pain. The Binars, if you talk fast. I mean, there's so many cultural, cultural yeast in our cake.
It has permeated our lives and our lives.
Yeah.
Let's just say lives.
Words aren't working today. None of the words are coming out right on either side. I don't know what's up. I can tell you this. We missed a show yesterday. We apologize for that, but we're back at it. No Wendy today. She's just home from Sweden and jet-lagged all to hell and back. And because of that, she will not be on this week, but she will be back next week, surely to tell us a little bit about her travels to the far-off land of Sweden.
I'm hoping.
I want to say there was a jaunt over to Finland during that trip, but I'm unsure. So she can tell us. She can give us tale of the see-through people.
I wonder if she had any lutefisk.
Yeah, lutefisk. Ooh.
Lutefisk.
Yeah, or any bandages. Oh, that's Honduras. Never mind.
That's Honduras.
Let's never forget. So does that top your list now of the worst things you've ever eaten? Is it still thick and liquid?
It's still thick and liquid. It's going to be hard to top something that almost made me throw up on the air.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Not the normal one.
Not the normal things that make me throw up on the air, like just starting the show and, you know, playing a clip of me going, no, or whatever it was that...
whatever that was.
I can't remember what clip preempted or preceded that.
Do you remember that? It was oddly...
I mean, it wasn't that clip that did it, obviously, but...
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. Probably this.
Diarrhea.
No, not that one.
No, it definitely wasn't that. Yeah.
So I wanted to just quickly thank everybody who sent a bunch of tweets and emails yesterday worried. So if you were here at the top of the show live, you heard me kind of fall apart and not do the show because a little bit overwhelmed by dizziness. I was super nauseated and just felt terrible. And it turns out it's kind of part of this thing I've been fighting. And I'm going to do this from... This is what I want to say today, and then I may never bring it up again.
Okay.
I am going to kick this thing in the A and do whatever I have to do to make it go away. And I'm not going to bring it up on the show anymore because I don't want people feeling sorry for me. I don't like it. I don't like the feeling. of that. So I'm going to...
If people are going to feel bad for you, you want them to feel bad for you for other reasons.
Yeah, for like, you know...
your fear of pooping on planes.
Right, or Utah man found dead in a horse casino, or something else. Doesn't make sense. But
I'd like to know more about your horse casinos.
I'll tell you guys what. If I'm stuck in a hospital for a bunch of time, you'll know about it. But between now and then, and it's not going to happen. But between now and then, it's just going to go on. Time is going to go on. It's going to pass like it always does. We're going to do shows. We're going to have a good time, and you're not going to have to worry about it. All right. So don't worry about me. Everything's fine. I've got all my faculties, except for the one where Jon Stewart gets a pen in the eye. Not that faculty. All right. Remember that?
I just made that connection, yes.
Takes a little while, but
that's right.
Got it.
And the hot chick from 24 turns out to be bad. And
You got that. You got it.
Yes.
It's got your T-1000 in there. He's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You got your...
you got your Jon Stewart. You got your...
Didn't you have a young... what was his name? The Black Hawk Down. Not really doing much now. Josh, Jim, Jojo...
I don't know.
Who's the guy? Who's the main kid?
Oh, Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Is he doing anything now? You know he's got talent. What's he doing?
I love that. That's become the phrase.
It's so easy to do it.
That needs to be hashtag, you know the guy's got talent.
Josh Hartnett. Here we go. Let's just take a look. Born in 78, Joshua Daniel Hartnett in San Francisco, California. Currently in the film Parts Per Billion. Penny Dreadful, which is a TV series in pre-production.
Okay.
And he was in Singularity, the TV show, which I didn't see at all.
I don't even remember there being a show called Singularity. Did they do more than one episode?
They did a season, I want to say, and then it got canceled, but someone could correct me. I'm pretty sure it's the one where the power goes out and never comes back. Remember that? Okay. It was like an NBC kind of Lost kind of thing.
That was like Flash. No. The one where the power goes out was... still on. It's Evolution.
Oh,
right?
Evolution.
Yeah.
Well, what's Singularity
Revolution.
Then?
Revolution.
Okay. An epic sweeping tale of an impossible love set across two time periods and continents. Never mind. That's not the same thing at all.
Don't get confused with Flash Forward and The Event and Revolution and all these things that... Weren't those all NBC attempts to like do the Lost thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the... mystery thrown out in the very first episode that takes several.
There were a lot of those.
Several seasons,
a lot of those shows tried to come and go, and then none of them really made it. Even other ones that J.J. Abrams helped produce.
I mean, Fringe is easily the best of the bunch.
Sure. Although it gets a little weird after half of season two, in my opinion.
You think?
I think they lose their way a little bit. Mm. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, still a good show, still worth seeing, all that. But Josh Hartnett, last thing he did of any real note theatrically, I believe, was 30 Days of Night. And that was in 2007. So everything before that, Lucky Number 11, remember that?
Yes.
Sin City, all this early 2000s stuff, Black Hawk Down, 40 Days, 40 Nights, he was in Pearl Harbor, Town and Country. Anyway. It's been a while. Josh Hartnett's star not on the rise so much anymore. I don't know what's going on there. I kind of like the guy. I don't know why we're even talking about him. Let's move on.
Because we were talking about the faculty. Mm. And if he was in
Is he even in the faculty? That's the funny thing.
He's in the faculty.
Okay,
yes.
Great. It would have been real stupid if he was.
I'm trying to remember the name of the cute blonde from 24.
Which one?
You know what? I'm just going to pull up the.
Not Katie Sackhoff.
Faculty.
She was only in one season of 24.
Yeah, no. Not Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
Laura Harris.
Oh, yeah, she's nice. I like
her.
She
is, yes.
Big fan. Okay, so let's get to... Oh, yeah, she is. She's...
Salma Hayek was in that, and Famke Janssen. How could we forget Famke Janssen?
Yeah, how could we forget Famke Janssen?
Phoebe Newworth. Yeah. My God, that thing was like all-star cast, Elijah Wood.
Well, yes. An all-star
McDonald, an Piper Laurie,
an all-star cast of '90s, early '90s cast-offs from TV shows.
Clea DuVall, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, Robert Patrick. We mentioned him. Jon Stewart. Did we mention him? We did.
We did mention him. Yes.
Well, anyway, let's get to the next little piece. Oh, look at this! The whole thing. We have a little sponsor for the top of the show stuff. You want to read that there?
Let me tell you about that. Yes. This goes out. Happy birthday to one superb Tadpool Facebook administrator and our good friend Yagavos, wishing you all the best. And please, more Vidja games with love and Kerbals from your friends at your Twitch chat room.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yes. Happy birthday, Yagavos. We have another birthday, but I'll let Yagavos bask in this one, and then I'll mention the other birthdays a little bit later.
Hey, Yagavos, you're soaking in it. Enjoy it. Breakfast Club meets The Thing, says user review for the faculty. I think that's a bold
Breakfast
statement.
Breakfast Club meets The Thing. That's how they pitched it. You know, they're the Universal Studios lot, and it's always, all right, well, it's going to be Patriot Games meets Despicable Me. Mm. That's the film.
Yeah.
Are you with me so far?
And they're at lunch. Everyone's got bad suits on. The stereotype holds true, everyone.
That's right. Hey, Dinner with Andre meets Pacific Rim.
Oh, perfect. Finally, someone has put those two things together. So Patreon, we hit our first goal.
Yes.
This is good news, everyone. Good news, everyone. We hit our first goal, and that first goal was the random drawing goal. You can go read about it at patreon.com/TMS.
It's going to go like this. You get a random drawing.
And you get one.
No. You're supposed to just let there be silence.
Oh, that's all it was? Oh, oops.
You get a random drawing. There you go. Exactly.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll be here all week. Well, we'll be here next week. Anyway, so we're excited about that. We're on our way to the next one. The next one is the evening stream, which is...
That's the one.
Yeah.
I want to do an evening stream so much.
We are pushing toward that one real hard. We want that one real hard. We got the menstrual cramps real hard. And I think that one is going to be interesting because we have some options there. We don't have any predisposition for what that needs to be.
Right.
So there's some excitement around the idea of what that might actually look like. And it's not going to be, we're not going to go crazy and make it a puppet show for kids. I mean, it'll still be a morning stream thing, but it'll be a lot of fun to kind of construct that. So head on over there if you haven't supported us yet at patreon.com/TMS and check out the rewards and contribute, because as we build to those other ones, excitement is in the air. All right, Brian.
Yes.
It's bacon week. Hey, that's one of the foods I can't eat anymore. Oh, it just hit me. I can't eat bacon anymore.
See, well, the bacon is white meat. Bacon is, pork is supposed to be the other white meat, right? You're not supposed to lump pork in with your beef.
Well, you shouldn't lump pork in with anything, really. But pork is the fibrous, muscular pork, like a loin or something. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to avoid.
Okay.
It's the digestibility of pork that's trouble. Bacon, probably I could get away with, because that stuff's barely even meat anymore.
You know what's? I'll say this, and I might get some harassment from the tadpole for this, but turkey bacon is not bad.
Yeah, we have that here. It's good.
Yeah, I can do turkey bacon. You know, I can tell it's not bacon.
Right.
But in a pinch. Turkey bacon's just fine.
I can't believe it's not bacon. What's that? Is that? Oh, no, that's butter.
Butter.
I was thinking that was an actual thing. No,
you're
turkey
channeling
bacon.
Your inner Fabio there, huh?
Turkey substitute across the board isn't bad. I think a ground turkey's really good.
Sure.
Ground turkey on spaghetti is amazing. Sure.
Just go to a Subway. Every meat there and cheese and bread is made from turkey.
Yeah. The fowls are easy to digest, but it is bacon week, and we wanted to go ahead and celebrate a little bit. So bacon milkshakes are being sold everywhere. Chocolate covered bacon shaped like roses, bacon flavored toothpaste. You can buy that now. Dental. Would you do that, by the way? Bacon flavored toothpaste? Would you put that
in
your mouth?
Sure, I try it. Absolutely. I try any of this stuff.
If anybody out there wants to do a very interesting morning stream where Brian and I have a little basin of water here at the top of the show.
We brush our teeth during the show.
With bacon flavored toothpaste. What? Who is someone calling me? Hold on. What the hell is that? Hold on.
That's hilarious.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that. Okay. It's Terpster calling. He's got the wrong day.
Yeah. I don't know what that one was.
Are we doing an instance today, Scott?
What are we doing? Are we doing one today?
I knew something was wrong.
Oi. You want me? I should rub him out.
Everyone sounds like they're on Snatch now. Right. Was it Snatch or two guns and smoking barrels? That's the one.
Yes.
Two guns and a smoking barrel.
All the same movie.
Madonna's old boyfriend. Made those movies, right? Isn't that the guy?
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that name.
The guy.
I like his movies.
Wasn't there a guy something who was married?
Ritchie something called Guy something. He's, I like his movies. I don't like his name. Just throwing that out there. Guy Ritchie. No, I don't like people named Guy. Now, there's one guy, we know him, we have a mutual friend named Guy who works at Blizzard in the UK, who we both like a lot. Guy's really nice, but I don't like his name. And I'm never gonna get away from that. I'm never gonna like a guy named Guy. I mean, I'm never gonna like the name Guy. I'll like guys named Guy, but I don't like the name.
Sure. Guy Kunis is a very, very cool guy. We hung out with him at BlizzCon.
BlizzCon. He was fantastic. What a cool dude. He listens to the show too. So hey Guy, what's going on?
Hey Guy.
This is part of the reason I don't like it is when people say hey Guy.
Yeah.
Hey
right.
Guy, what's going on, right. Guy? Well, you know the type. You know who I'm talking about. It's so obnoxious.
Yes.
Anyway, you can get your bacon bourbon, margaritas, beer, and vodka. Bacon ice cream and sundaes exist. Mm. BLT sandwich, a full pound of bacon.
I've had bacon ice cream sundaes.
How was it?
It was good, actually. Bacon-alia, it was like a month-long thing at Denny's, and they had bacon milkshakes and bacon ice cream sundaes. And I had to try one. I had to try to have one.
Did you have one with – does it have actual bacon pieces in it or just flavored? Okay.
No, bacon pieces in it. So you got a scoop of ice cream, bacon, scoop of ice cream, and then syrup.
So it's kind of a sweet and savory deal.
It is, yeah. Okay. I think bacon goes with a lot of things.
That's pretty functional as an idea. It sounds weird on the surface, but you eat it, and that's probably fine. Yeah. This is all on the menu at One Atlantic Casino that's stretching the bounds of good taste and cardiovascular health this week for Bacon Week. The festival at the Tropicana Casino and Resort gives new meaning to the term pigging out.
Hmm.
It's not as far-fetched as it might sound. Americans eat about 1.5 billion pounds of bacon a year, mm-hmm. according to the National Pork Board. There's a National Pork Board. Hey, Bill, you still working for the Pork Board? That's great.
Sure am. We're having a good year this year. Except for this one time we went out to eat and we asked for more bacon, and they didn't bring us any more bacon.
We're supposed to be all-you-can-eat bacon.
And the website, bacontoday.com, go there now. Counted nearly 30 bacon festivals around the country from late April through December 2013, many of whose tickets sold out in mere minutes. The BlizzCon of bacon festivals.
Right, it's Bacon.
Yeah. If that doesn't exist, we're doing it wrong. Do you think it exists? It has to.
It has to. If they didn't think about the
Bacon Convention.
Then what the heck is wrong with them?
Convention in Grand Rapids? Jeez, I don't want that. All right, Bacon Fest. the Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival, Bacon Fest San Diego, Bacon Fest New York, Bacon, here it is.
There we go.
Bacon brings bacon-themed festival to Delta Plex Arena. That's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's the one I was looking at.
Oh.
Grand Con, Comic-Con, and now Bacon. They have the Fine Swine Awards, the Suey Eat Eats Award, and the Top Hog Award. Oh, wow. All right.
Wow. We got to go there. Live TMS. What's our stretch goal to do a remote TMS from Bacon?
$30,000 a month. If we can reach that easily reachable goal.
Yes, exactly.
We'll be there. Yeah, don't you worry.
We'll be there.
Anyway.
Bacon.
There it is. It's Bacon Week. How will you celebrate it, I wonder, folks out there listening? Yes. Let us know via email. My Extra Life. Nope, that's not it. What's my email? The email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. Jeez, we miss a day and I forget everything.
Reboot.
All right, I got to add Daryl. I still haven't fixed this.
Oh, still doing it from the remote machine. I thought you did it. That's right, because you didn't have his account name, which is, I'm not saying out loud.
Yes, that.
Yes.
Whoa, wait. How come?
Oh, Daryl, are you there? Daryl?
He's not there.
Is he not there?
Hear him.
Really?
Oh, he's ringing.
I don't hear him because he's ringing.
Let some people on sale.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Here he is. Oh, wait. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by.
Hey guys, my sons Alan and Jacob have started a web video production company called Two Brother Productions. They've started a Kickstarter project for a web series they've been planning on for over a year now called Battle of the AIs. They have 3 seasons of content ready to record, but they need your help purchasing the equipment, thus the Kickstarter campaign. If anyone is interested, they can find the project at tinyurl.com/2broprod or http://:, why the heck am I reading all that? blockcreations.com/2brothersprod. Thank you all for helping them out. Nick McKinney, a.k.a. Nick 20 Questions.
Nice. Daryl, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hey, hello, how you doing, man?
I'm good, as long as I don't eat beef or pork.
Don't eat beef or pork. You have the same deal. You can't eat those two things without having some measure of trouble, right?
Yeah, and it's been that way for 20 years, and only now found out that it's because the same thing you have.
Yeah, so Daryl, see, Brian, this is what I'm saying. It's the silent thing. It's just there, and you don't even know it. So when you had your hoo-ha done, they said, hey, you've got that too, but you're good because you're not, you know, all flared up.
I want to know when you had your hoo-ha done. Did you have it vejazzled?
It was his tubular bum checker thing.
Oh, the right colonoscopy. Yes.
Yeah, that's the word. I was close, right? Tubular bum checker.
Hoo-ha. Tubular bum checker. That's my Mike Oldfield cover band.
That is going to fall on so many deaf ears because they don't know about that album, but
Google
I do.
Google it, people. Google it.
But I do. That's great. I used to love him. All right. So, Daryl, it's good to have you back. It's time for Star Trek Stump a Trek Time Nerd. Man, you know, you miss a day, really, and you forget everything you're supposed to say. I don't care. We're moving on anyway. We're just going to push through. Daryl, it's Daryl, everybody. He's the Trek Nerd, and here's his hard trivia question for the day. It's Next Generation related, and it's still Q week. So here it is. In the Next Generation episode, True Q, a female Q named Amanda Rogers, you know, like they do.
No, really?
Well, remember, she came on, but she wasn't a Q yet.
A female Q named Amanda Rogers.
Another That's one named Stevenson. Bill. Yeah. Hey, Larry, the Q, come in here.
Laura Pachowski.
She's, remember, she started out as just a Starfleet chickie poo, and then she became.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah,
so I think that's why. But it sounded funny the way it was read. Anyway, comes aboard the Enterprise for an internship. Dr. Crusher. Yeah, that's what I meant. Crusher. I've never said her name before. Dr. Crusher mentions her working in various scientific fields. Skeletor says she has worked in neurobiology and eco-regeneration. What scientific field does Skeletor, a.k.a. Dr. Crusher, mention? Is it A, plasma dynamics, B, microbiology, C, bioengineering, or D, geological engineering? So plasma, micro, bio, geo. All right, because that sounds cool when I say them all short like that. Daryl, while you think about it, no food, because we don't have anything yet. I still haven't gotten that big box everyone's talking about.
Well, I think the big box was the, you've already gotten it. It was the, what was it? It was the...
Was it the Hondurans?
No. It was a bigger box. Oh, it was the big box that had the cookies and cupcakes and stuff in it because of all the plastic wrap.
Right,
bubble wrap.
Something was left in there, though. What did we end up not doing yet?
We didn't do the maple syrup. Well,
how did we do that?
I've been enjoying that maple syrup on homemade waffles.
They don't have any beef on them, do they?
They do not.
Good, I can eat it.
They have a bourbon. It's made in bourbon barrels, but there's no alcohol in them.
So, Daryl, you haven't had a true hamburger in how many years? A couple decades?
Yeah, about that long.
Good Lord. That seems bad, but you know what? Like, there are people in jungles who have never even seen a hamburger, so who cares? It's just a burger. So what? So what if society says you must eat a burger? You don't have to eat a burger.
Once in a while, like maybe once a year. Well, no, not even that. Maybe once every 2 or 3 years, I'll try one, and then I'm very, very sorry I did.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I feel when I have someone to commiserate with, it makes me feel better. It's an odd little thing, you know, because sometimes you feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? I'm the only guy in the world who's dealing with this. No. Daryl can't eat a burger neither. Put that on your t-shirt. Daryl can't eat a burger neither. All right, Daryl. Let's do birthdays. Anybody? Someone?
That would be... Oh, I want to do yesterday's, too. Yesterday was the guy in the Gorn suit, Bobby Clark. Yeah. He was 77 yesterday.
Oh, that's great. How did we miss him? No, because we weren't on the show. We weren't on the...
That's how we missed him.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because he's come up a few times lately. Like, been in some film sack stuff, and that's cool.
And he goes to conventions still.
That's great.
And then we also have LeVar Burton. Sunday, he will be 57.
LeVar Burton pushing 60? What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Wow.
I bet he's got better vision now than he even did as Jordy. That's great. Happy birthday to him. We love Jordy. Jordy's great. Guy continues to be cool. He's not nearly, for a while there, do you remember for a while here in the last little while, he was all over the social media and just cropping up in everybody's mm-hmm. podcasts and stuff. Yeah. I feel like that's all slowed down quite a bit for
Lots
him.
Lots of appearances and stuff. He did a recorded thing for the Geek Bowl event that that I saw that I was at Austin.
Oh.
They have a whole round where it's celebrities asking questions, and mm-hmm. they had LeVar Burton, they had Elijah Wood, they had... Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory. Really, really great.
That's a big segment. Deal.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Wow.
All videotaped, all recorded. They weren't there at the event. But,
yeah, but did they have that guy from, what was that show? From Weeds and from the bartender dude from Parks and Recreation show up like he did at Nerdtacular to introduce
no,
the thing?
No, they did not. Nope.
That was badass. Still to this moment, I you freaked me out that day. I was like, how did Brian? I mean, I know I figured out later. You told me how you knew him and everything, but I had no idea.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Although I hate his character on Weeds. Not him, but just the state he's in. What a mess.
Dean Hodes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. All right, Daryl. Sorry. Back. Oh yeah, happy birthday, LeVar and other Gorn man. Happy birthday, Gorn man. Let's get to your question. It is the plasma dynamics question, or the plasma dynamics question. The microbiome. What am I trying to say? The Skeletor scientific field question. Plasma dynamics, microbiology, bioengineering, or geological engineering? I only have vague recollections of this episode. I really don't remember much about it.
It was a later Q1, so it wasn't quite as good, but it was still good. Oh, let's see. Plasma, something about plasma. I don't know. Geo? No, not geo. It's not geo. I'm crossing geo out.
So non-geological engineering, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to cross out plasma because it sounds too advanced. I think what they would do is give her something that sounds very human.
Because that was the idea of the episode, right? Mm-hmm. This is kind of like, she's human,
this girl
but she's
next door.
Sure,
she thinks she's human, but she's not really.
But she's got Q tendencies.
Yeah. The tadpole reminded me that it's Olivia Diabo, and you know what? She can do whatever she wants.
She's all right. Mm-hmm. Olivia Diabo.
Olivia Diabo, you know her.
Oh, D apostrophe. She's
D
like
apostrophe.
A,
yeah,
she's like a troll leader in World of Warcraft. She got that weird apostrophe. in her name.
That's right. When you have an apostrophe in your name.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and she holds up. My goodness. She looks great for
I'm sure she does,
her age now, which has got to be 40-something.
It reminds me that we need to see, Conan the... What was the sequel?
The
Conan
Destructor.
The Destroyer?
Destroyer.
Conan the Destroyer?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
She's all up in that business.
Yeah, she's lovely. Oh, mm-hmm. Whoops. Shouldn't have... apparently she's done some other things that...
apparently Safe Search is not turned on.
I don't know what movies those were, but paying the bills. All right. sorry, Daryl, you were contemplating.
Yes. Well, okay, what's the third one?
Third one is bioengineering.
So it's So the second one's microbio. What? Biology?
Plasma dynamics, microbiology, bioengineering. So those two are kind of similar. And then you've already killed geo and plasma. So the only two left are microbiology and bioengineering.
Yeah. I'm gonna say. Oh shoot! I know I'm gonna. I was gonna say B, but now I'm gonna say C and probably get it wrong.
Bioengineering. I agree with you. It sounds like a human-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
So your thinking isn't terrible there. Well, let's find out. Judges, is it that? That's too bad. Bad way to end the week. Plasma dynamics is the answer.
Oh, I was really wrong. Well, that's
one,
okay.
The first
then.
One you took off the list. Yeah.
Plasma's always been confusing to me in a science fiction kind of way because they always use it in ways like, it's a plasma gun or rifle or laser. But then there's plasma like injections and blood and... mm-hmm. Bio things, and I feel like they take too much license with using it any way they want to. Plasma is just all over the map. But anyway, it's plasma dynamics. Skeletor says Amanda has worked in plasma dynamics. Q shows up in this episode to try and convince Amanda to use her Q powers and embrace being a Q. Here's a clip of Picard and Q hanging out and talking.
Well, there, that's better. Crusher gets more shrill with each passing year.
Q, what is it you really want?
Well, since you know so much about the Q, I thought you'd be the perfect person to introduce me to the child. Let her know that she can trust me.
I don't trust you, Q. Why should I expect Amanda to?
Well, she'd better, because I'm all she's got. She needs me to help her prepare for a future with the Q.
But what if she doesn't want that future? It must be her decision.
Oh, yes, yes, yes!
So I got a question about Q and Q-isms in general. And Daryl, maybe you know this. Why did they call themselves that? It's a human construct. It's a letter. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's Q, and it's used in, you know, primarily English uses, but Latin and some other stuff. Why would they do that?
Because prior to this, they were giving weapons to James Bond.
Like exploding pens and
that's right, and
heat sinking condoms and things. Didn't they have those? They had those.
Sure.
From
sure.
Russia with Love or Octopussy or one of those.
Do try to take care of it, James.
I've got. Please don't tear it like the last one.
Oh my!
I loved how he talked.
Yeah,
he would always say, "James, please don't lose it this time." Exasperated, he was like, what's he like? He's like a good Batman,
right? Alfred
thing.
Yes.
I was going to say something about that, though. What was I going to say? Oh, today. Okay, sorry to be all over the place. But today's world, 2014. Could you make a movie called Octopussy? Could you even do that?
Oh, no, probably not. No.
Well, even though, I mean, I can't
if
even
it's
believe.
About eight, if it's about eight cats, probably.
Yeah, but even then. I just think you couldn't get away with it.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it today.
Because sure. It was full of innuendo then. It wasn't. Right. It wasn't even like they were. It wasn't like octopussy. It was like
it's not a new term at all.
No.
And they snuck that through.
If anything, that's fallen out of favor in terms of it being a common, you know, sort of thing to say. I'm just fascinated by that idea that you could make a movie, call it Octopussy, and put it out on regular movie theaters with a PG rating, and have us all go see it.
That's right.
Anyway, yes. All right, Daryl, way to go. Next week, you'll get a chance to make up for your plasma dynamics error, and that's fine because we look forward to it as we always do every week. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He is also This Week in Trek's own Daryl. Daryl at thisweekintrek.com is where you can find their fantastic podcast, and it's also on iTunes and wherever fine podcasts are sold, that is to say, given away freely. Daryl, let's do a contest, and I have a theme for us, so what do you got?
Is this a Star Trek race or an actual horse?
Okay, let's do a Star Trek race horse. Or an actual horse. Okay, yeah. Here's your theme today. It's a little churchy.
Wow.
Dearly beloved, sit your asses down. Okay, go.
I'm here today to get this thing called life.
It's pretty close. All right, go for it.
Andalusians.
I think this is a Star Trek race because he's trying to fool us into the Appaloosians, which is a kind of horse.
I'm going to agree with Brian.
Oh, but you have to agree.
We have to agree.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. We're one mind on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you have hopped into that boat and it's sinking because it's an actual horse.
Gosh, what? Dang it. Freaking, I knew it would be that because he's playing with us. He's messing with us.
Really? I could have sworn there was I guess I was thinking of.
It sounds like an alien.
Appaloosians or Apple. Not Apple.
Apple.
Is it Appaloosians?
Apple. Who's that? There's a singer. Apple.
I know there's Appalachians.
That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of who was one of Prince's girlfriends?
Apollonia.
Apollonia is who I'm thinking of. Who also sounds like a deli meat. So one way or the other, you're screwed.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
No! Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by What a Weird Episode of Cheesy G's podcast, Anxiety Party. Catch this week's episode with actor Dan Fogler. Then support next week's guests, 80s homage family film To Find a Monster, by supporting their Indiegogo at bit.ly/tofindamonster. Do it.
Nice, Cheesy G. Man, she's getting these like Hollywood people on her show. She's like, I have so much anxiety, yet I'm going to talk to all the famous people I can. It's amazing. It's like she's got I don't know. She's found a way to beat it. It's incredible. NBC's Bob Costas. You're familiar with his work?
His incredibly shrinking eyeglasses.
Yeah.
Did you see the ones he wore?
They're about the size of his eyes now.
Exactly, like his irises.
Yeah, totally. You don't want to do something. You want to do something weird. Here's my recommendation: go watch Ken Burns Baseball, which is 9 innings, 2 hours each, 2 hours per inning. It's a big, huge documentary, and he is featured throughout. Okay, he's in there a lot talking about baseball, and he's very young. And this was made in 1989, so or 90, whatever it was. And so he's been around, you know, been around for a long time doing what he does, and he's very young and talking about all this stuff. They then do a 10th inning in 2010 or 11, whatever it was, and that just covered baseball from where they left off up till whatever current was, and that was all the Curt Schilling stuff and all the stuff with the everybody doing steroids and all that, right? He completely changed. Bob Costas, that is. Totally different looking. Now, I know we all age, right?
Like so
thin and wafery. It's weird.
Yeah.
I can't tell what's going on there. But anyway.
I'm looking at photos of him in Google Image, and
he's so boyish in the old days.
Yeah, he is.
Just a little boy face, you know?
Yep.
Say what you want about him. I think he's a hell of a sportscaster.
Yeah, man.
I
mean, new glasses.
Maybe the ultimate sportscaster, like of all time, if you really had to put your finger on it. I mean, who else would you say is a bigger deal in sportscasting? I can't think of anyone.
No, definitely.
Maybe we've got a big fight on our hands.
Well, Howard Cosell, sure.
Who else?
Gumbel. Greg Gumbel.
Oh, Greg Gumbel? Yeah, he's all right. He was always in the shadow of Bryant.
Yeah, he was.
Is there another,
Chris Collingsworth, no one really.
Jim Vance, maybe a little. Mm-hmm. He used to be on a local affiliate here, so we kind of have a soft spot for Jim Vance. It's interesting. But anyway, Bob Costas, this isn't the point. The biggest news out of the Olympics so far, he has an eye infection.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Well, it's pink eye.
Yeah. You know what those are, don't you?
Yes.
That's from poo. So you get it. I mean, there are other ways to get it, but generally it's from.
John Mann, very good suggestion from the tadpole. Phil Rizzuto, Marv Albert.
Yeah, Albert was pretty good until he started biting the hooker on the bum. Remember that?
Yes.
Here, hold on. Let's do a search here for conjunctivitis. Vitus. Okay, I believe it used to be, it's kind of considered the only way you get it is you get it via floating poo. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe.
Purples in the air.
So classification by cause. There's allergic conjunctivitis, bacterial, which is how you get it through the poo, viral conjunctivitis, which is different, chemical conjunctivitis, and neonatal conjunctivitis is often defined separately due to different organisms. And then you have like an autoimmune version of it, which is just a chronic thing. Oh, gosh. The photos on this Wikipedia, dude.
That's why I'm not even going there. I'm not even doing what you're doing.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Well, anyway, he's got one of them. I'm guessing bacterial because there's poo in the air in Russia. Everyone knows that. Got real bad and it kept getting worse. He could not get it to go away, and it got to the point where he was just about blind. With both eyes reddened by infection, Costa said he will be sitting out the primetime Olympics coverage. This was on Tuesday. I don't know where it's at now. We should find out. Taking his place was today's anchor, Matt Lauer. Mm-hmm. Might be familiar with his work. He's the one that ran Morning Good Morning Everybody Good Morning out of the studio.
I don't know. Was it him?
Well,
was he the agent behind Ann Curry's removal?
He apologized publicly for her treatment. So I don't know if that means that was him taking credit or what, but there was some kind of public apology from him. If you don't know who we're talking about.
The Morning Stream.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
Yes, that's Matt Lauer right there.
No. This is the one. Sorry. Here we go.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
That's Ann Curry doing what she does best. Costas has been wearing glasses since the start of the Sochi Olympics because of an infection in his left eye. On Monday's broadcast, it was apparent that the infection had spread to his other eye, and it quickly became the topic of conversation on all social media and sports talk radio. No one else has anchored the primetime Summer Olympics for NBC since 1998, when the rights to the games, when CBS had the rights to the games. Costas called in to the Today Show Tuesday to talk to Lauer and said, if anything, his eyes had gotten worse. He says, I'm trying to throw a complete game here. But I think we're going to have to go to the bullpen. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you're Marino Rivera.
Mariano Rivera.
Sure. That sounds better than what I said. At the least tonight, Costa said. Let's hope it's
baseball,
only tonight.
References there.
He sat out at least 2 days. I don't know where he is on the third day. He was trying to only do it once. But basically, he says he can't see anything. Like, he's talking to people, and they're just blurs in front of him. So,
Irony Man says that he got some Putin in his eye.
Oh, a little bit of floating Putin. Putin floaty.
Food and floating.
Scientists. There's another story, a little scientific story of the day for you. Scientists get mice high to explain why we get the munchies. This is important for you guys because you're in Colorado. And
yes, this is this. Did this happen in Colorado? I'd love it if it did. Because you know that somebody's like, hey, man, we should like get some mice high and figure out why it causes the munchies, man.
Dude, we totally have mice back there. We could totally do it. The scientists began exposing mice increasingly used in neuroscientific research because of the surprising amount of cognitive similarities they share with humans. That always weirds me out that mice are so close to us in that way. Yeah. To banana and almond oils as a test of sensitivity to scent. When they did, the mice sniffed the oils extensively at first, then stopped showing interest in them. A well-known phenomenon called olfactory habituation. Look at me with the big words.
Look at you.
You hear that? I want to do it one more time. Olfactory habituation. That means like the habit of smelling a thing for a very long time. It's like your wife makes a really pungent sort of garlic meal, and is when you first walk upstairs, like, oh, you're my like, gosh.
But then after a while,
you acclimate.
Yes.
Another big word. Mice that were dosed with THC, the chemical found in weed, marijuana, Mary Jane, doobage. I can't think of anything else. However, kept on sniffing, demonstrating an enhanced sensitivity to the scents. These THC-dosed mice also ate much more chow when given the chance, showing an increased appetite. So basically proving what we already knew.
Yeah,
pot makes you hungry.
That mice will always eat a Cheeto. Next.
Yeah moving on. there you go. Some nice info for you. Squarespace.com sponsoring this week of shows. They've been so great so far. We just love these guys at Squarespace.com. You want to make a website? You want to make something cool? I recommend you go check out Squarespace.com because Squarespace.com will let you do it for free without a credit card. Not only that, they have all the templates, e-commerce solutions and tools, all the stuff you need to get going and get going right now. I love their mobile stuff as well. And the best part, in my mind, is we're moving into a mobile world and they're ready and there for you. So when you make this site, whatever it is, it's going to look great on tablets and phones and small screens and big screens and all screens automatically. They call that... is it not reactive? Responsive. What's the word? Responsive design. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's just in there. So you don't have to.
In.
Yeah. You don't have to engineer it. It's just there. Right.
Now, need a plug in. You don't need to program it.
No.
Create another template. Kind of, like some crazy fool.
What kind of world would that be? So I want you to try it out for free. And if you like it, and I think you will, use morning at checkout for 25% off. That's 25% off with the code morning at squarespace.com. Also today brought to you by HelloFresh.com. Our friends at HelloFresh making cooking fun again. Go check out their chef's amazing recipes and pick one you like. They'll send the stuff straight to your door. That's what's cool about it. Deliver it. Fresh, in your hands, ready to make. 30 minutes later, you're a hero.
You'll open the door, you'll see that box, and you'll go, HelloFresh!
And your neighbor will go, don't come near me or my children. And you'll say, no, wait, and they'll shut the door.
Yeah, and then they'll smell that delicious food, and then they'll change their mind.
Oh, then the tune will change, whistling a different Dixie, or whatever the phrase is. There isn't one. I made it up.
Whistling a different Dixie.
Whistling a different Dixie. When you want to go check out if they're available in your area, you can do so. And if you're in the Netherlands, Germany, Australia, the United States, chances are they are. And if they're not, they're coming soon. If they are in your area, use MorningStream50 at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. That's MorningStream50 for 50% off. Do it now.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
I had a cousin who divorced his wife because she was whistling a different Dixie. Oh. Remember the Final Score Minecraft server? Started by Brian Dunway, continued by Scotty D, administrated by Pseudo Knight, @AsDialed, Fred Waffles, and moderators Raymond... _ the second and truly annoying. This is a thank you to all those people. Especially PK. Thank you. Love.
Oh, that's totally nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got on tap here. Shirley Temple Black.
You might know her as Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple, to some of you. She was the young screen darling of the 30s and 40s. She was a genuine hit as a film star. Like, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember even as a kid really enjoying the movies I saw. I thought they were fun
good
and
ship,
light.
Lollipop. And,
yeah, it was a good time. And she was really good. She actually did this thing, though, that nobody else seems to be able to do for the most part. I mean, maybe Ron Howard and a couple others kind of break the mold, but she was a huge child star that went on to be a really solid, awesome adult. She also became an ambassador, and I forgot to which country now. I don't have it in front of me. Ah, oh, crap. It's in here somewhere. She was during it was during the Reagan years, and it was... Hold on. It's your personality. Here it is. She received more mail than Greta Garbo and was photographed more than President Franklin D. Roosevelt. The little girl with 56% blonde ringlets and an air of relentless determination was so assured.
56% blonde ringlets?
I do not understand ringlets? What that means. That is really odd.
I can't even say it because it's so foreign to me. 56% blonde ringlets.
Okay. She retired from the screen at age 22. Instead of retreating into a nostalgia, she created a successful second career. She became a prominent Republican fundraiser. She was appointed to as a delegate to the United Nations General Assembly by Richard M. Nixon.
Rawr, rawr, you should go in there and do that. Rawr, rawr.
In 69, she went on to win wide respect as United States Ambassador to Ghana. That's what it is. 74 to 76, under Gerald Ford's stuff. And then H.W. Bush's was one for the older Bush when he was in Czechoslovakia, or she went to Czechoslovakia and became the ambassador there in 89. And she served there until the fall of communism in Eastern Europe. She won all kinds of accolades through her life, including her young actor stuff, as well as her leadership in politics. And she died at the age of 85. And it's all a little sad because you really don't have much to say bad about her.
No. No, she had, as Jeannie is pointing out, she had a normal marriage, normal kids, didn't you know, go the way of some child stars that...
didn't end up drunk one night and urinating on somebody's car hood.
That's right.
None of that. Those pictures.
Shaving her head and whacking cars with an umbrella. No, yeah, none of that.
Those pictures never surfaced. She wasn't throwing eggs at her neighbor. We learned a little something there, Bieber.
Right.
You learned something, buddy. Speaking of Bieber, here's your big news of the week.
All right.
Justin Bieber. We used to call him the Biebs, or some people did. Yeah. I never did.
Yeah, no.
He now officially goes by Bizzle.
Of course he does.
B-I-Z-Z-L-E. Yeah, yes. Of course he does.
Yes, because that's current. Uh-huh.
When did Snoop start doing the shizzle crap?
That would have been the 90s, I believe.
Late 90s, early late 90s? Aughts. Yeah. Something like that. Someone can look up the origin of that for us. It'd be fine. His Irony Man just sent me something. It's probably a link of something terrible. Hold on. I'm going to look and see what that is. Oh, gosh. I'm the Hulk throwing a bear across the forest.
Oh, nice. Good.
It's one of the best episodes of that show ever. Anyway, thank you for that. Conjunctivitis link needs to go away. All right, there we go. Justin Bieber seems to have changed his name, or at least on Instagram. He has acknowledged the change on Twitter, where he retweeted a couple of fans who announced it. The Daily Mail notes that the switch took place Saturday, February 8th, following a series of photos from Bieber, Bizzle, posted in which he poses with famous rappers Diddy, Rick Ross, and T.I. I don't know who T.I. is. Have you heard of that rapper?
Yeah, I totally have heard of that rapper.
I've heard of Diddy.
I'm trying to remember what his big single was. T.I.
Testicle implant.
I keep thinking of stuff that's 50 Cent, like In the Club.
Torn intestines. Ticklish. Ibbot. Ticklish Ibbot. That's what that stands for.
Yes, exactly.
That's your old nickname.
Treasure Island. Ticklish Ibbot.
Hey, Brian's going to go on his rap tour, known as Ticklish Ibbot or T.I. he changed his name, and that's stupid.
Yeah.
It's real.
So is it Justin Bizzle or just plain Bizzle?
It's just Bizzle. There's no Justin in there. I mean, what would you do with the J? Just J Bizzle is what it should be.
J Bizzle. Right. Yeah.
Here's some photos of him hanging out with those guys, looking just as douchey as you can. Bieber isn't the first to sport the name. Other Bizzles include Miami rapper who was shot and killed in 2012.
Other Bizzles include...
let's see. A Christian rapper from Houston who recently made headlines for recording an anti-gay version of Macklemore's Same Love. A UK rapper named Lethal Bizzle, who seems less than pleased that the Canadian is using the rapper name. A true teenager. It seems Bieber has changed his mind and is back to being called Justin Bieber now on Instagram. So it went back. All right, fine, whatever.
Yeah. So people have told me T.I.'s big songs include What You Know About That, thanks to Iceworm, Let Him Out, according to Backwards Pants, and Dead and Gone, says I Am Bagels. I don't think I know about any of those.
One of those songs was Backwards Pants. That's what I wish.
No, but I did appreciate the little TI miniature computer back in the 80s.
Oh, wasn't that great? It was wonderful. Yeah. Four-color display.
Yeah. You program BASIC on it.
Yeah, it was good. It had a tape drive you could buy.
Yep.
It add on to it. They had them at Radio Shack, you guys.
Now, you're thinking of the Tandys.
TIs were there, too.
The TI was the little Texas Instruments TI-99, the little black... It was teeny tiny, man. It was...
Well, compared to what?
Compared to other computers you could buy those days. Like, it was smaller than an Atari 2600.
Whatever happened to TI? You know they got talent. What happened to
those guys? What was that?
They still do stuff. They did the DLP display stuff. That was them. Yeah.
Oh, no, the TI-99. I think I'm thinking of a different TI. What was the programmable one? Because I'm looking at the TI-99, and yeah, that one had the built-in disk drive.
Well, I can tell you that TI.com, which is their website, is currently experiencing problems because the CSS CSS isn't working. You should go click that and see what you get. TI.com. Oh, really? TI.com. Make sure I'm looking at it right. Oh, now it cleared up. Never mind.
There you go. Fixed now. Oh, somebody's looking at the site. Turn it on.
Wow, this webpage was made a trillion years ago. Ultra low power boost converter charger with battery management. Boring.
Right. Here's a link in Skype for you of the TI-99.
All right. Taking a look here. Oh, yeah. I remember these now.
Yep.
Okay. What's the little pad thing on the over this side there? Is that something you just, what do you put in there?
I think that's a drive.
Is it?
I want to say it's.
It's just such a weird long bay.
It is, yeah.
Huh. Was it easy to type on that thing?
Drink holder.
It's a sandwich holder.
That's right.
Which little BLT over there.
There it is. That's the one that I was thinking of. The Timex Sinclair. Yes.
Oh.
Thank you, Captain Kipper. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
There's the one.
Timex Sinclair.
There's the one.
Yeah.
Despite you in chat room being a minute and a half behind us, you're still Johnny on the spot.
You're Johnny on the minute ago spot.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Timex Sinclair. Oh, who could forget?
Never
forget.
Never forget. Too soon. Or what? Yeah. Well, have fun, Bizzle. We are going to move on out of here and take a break. But before we do, tweakedaudio.com is sponsoring the program as well. I don't know if I've told you guys enough about their lifetime warranty, but that's the thing that keeps coming up. People are like, I mushed them in the car door and they sent me a new pair. Well, that seems above and beyond because you're the dummy that slammed him in the car. I was the dummy that smacked him into that guy in that urinal that time, and they still sent me a new pair. They're amazing. They're good people, and they'll give you earbuds you can love that you'll find durable. You'll love the noise reduction. You'll love the compatibility, and you'll love the discount. 33% off with Stream at checkout. That's checkout with the code STREAM at tweakedaudio.com for 33% off. All right, Brian, let's take a break. What do you got?
All right, so going out to Bryce Baker. By the way, I do want to throw out happy birthday wishes to Andreas and Natalie, who both share a birthday today.
Ekberg or different Andreas?
Ekberg. Oh, yeah, Andreas great. Ekberg. And Natalie came with him to Nurtacular last year. Mm-hmm. They share a birthday, and they're also right now sharing a snow day because of the weather going on in New York. So
bad over there right now.
Happy birthday to the two of them.
They're expecting multiple feet of snow before this is over.
Jeez, that's crazy.
That's bad. It's bad.
All right. So let's get to the song. This one going out to Bryce Baker. Hey, Brian, I would like to request the Flatliners cover of Cry, Cry, Cry by Johnny Cash, which can be found on this album, blah, blah, blah. My birthday is February the 12th. I'll be turning 30 freaking years old and would love to hear my song on or near my big day. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Bryce Baker.
Aww.
I've got that. And I didn't have that before. It's a really, really good album that, thanks to that request, I discovered, called All Aboard, a tribute to Johnny Cash, full of great covers. This is so, I love, this is the kind of discovery I like a tribute album like this that I'd never heard of. And it's a great cover of Cry, Cry, Cry. Here are the Flatliners. And it's going out to Bryce.
There you go. All right, let's play it now. When we come back, we'll have Nicole, we'll have Tom. We'll have a weird Thursday, so stay tuned for all that. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows where you go when the sun goes down. I think you only live to see the lights of town. I wasted my time when I would try. Cause when the lights and the lights are glow, you'll cry. Soon your sugar daddies will all be gone. And you'll wake up some cold day and find you're alone. You'll call for me, but I'm gonna tell you bye. When I turn around and walk away, you'll cry. You're gonna cry. And you'll cry alone. When everyone's forgotten and you're left on your own, you're gonna cry. Till you come in, and you stay a little while, and you're gone again. Every question that I ask, I get a lie. For every lie you tell, you're gonna cry. When you think of love gets old, no one will care for you. Then you come back to me, poor little love that's true. I'll tell you no, and then you'll ask me why. When I remind you of all this, you'll cry, and you'll want the end. It'll hurt when you think of all the fool you've been. You're gonna cry. You're gonna cry, and you'll cry alone. Cry, and
Fuddruckers presents the national champion of hamburgers.
To build a champion, you start with good, fresh, raw talent. There are a few turnovers involved, but you fix them the way you like it, Fuddruckers. The battle is won in the trenches. He takes this man out here, he blocks this man out here, and the champion comes through every time at Fuddruckers. Bring your family to Fuddruckers, Airline Highway at I-12, and you'll hit a home run.
I'm going too.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Oh, yeah. You know those doodles I have to do during the songs?
Mm-hmm.
I only got one done.
Oh, yeah, but is it a good one?
Short song. Yeah, I think so. Here, chat room, you can see what I got so far.
Yeah.
Good dude. It's just a dude.
Just a dude?
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't see in Skype, I don't see your...
Oh, that's on purpose. Yeah, well, not that I'm trying to make you not see it, but,
then I look over here at the, because I've got a picture of the screen or the Twitch feed.
Oh, and then it'll take a while. Yeah.
I'm about a minute later, yeah. So I know to look.
Yeah, it's all good. I enjoy doing these, but I'll have to do it in the later song just to finish up the page.
That's very cool. I did 10 push-ups during that song.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, look at you.
Hey, you know.
You can do this every time? Is it just your thing now?
No.
Oh. All right.
Just till I get the 50 done.
All right. I am proud to announce that today is a little bit different. We're going to do, since Wendy just got home from Sweden and is jet lagged to heck and back, she is not going to be here. So I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to add Nicole now.
Yes.
Do it the hard way. Because I still haven't fixed this.
Oh, no, Scott.
I know. Spagnuolo, though. Here she comes,
walking down the thing with the stuff.
Oh. Okay.
There it is.
Come on, Scott. All right, let's.
There it is.
Let's play a little tune that signifies the arrival of Nicole like this. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cold of the program. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Brian.
That was a little weird, Nicole, not having you here yesterday. I feel bad about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a rough day.
You should feel horrible about being sick, Scott.
Yeah. I just prepped for nerd parents.
Oh, that's true. How'd it go? Who'd you have on yesterday?
We had Kishel and we had Eric Mailer on. Oh,
I like both those people.
They both have babies under 12 months, and I thought it would be interesting. And they both stay at home, so they're both stay-at-home parents.
I didn't know he was. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So
that's really rad.
I really enjoyed it. Yep.
Well, listen for that coming soon at nerdparents.com.
Yeah, next Wednesday will be released. We just released the episode with Daryl yesterday.
Oh, good. How'd that go?
So he was, we kind of overpowered him. I felt bad, so I'm going to have him back on.
Oh, because you had a lot of ladies on there.
Yeah, I'm getting the flow of the show, and I think three is the target number.
Well, it takes a while to iron such issues out, but you guys are doing a fine job thus far.
Having fun doing it.
Well, screw all that stuff. Forget all that. Who cares? Because right
Quarantine.
Now, Nicole is going to come to the table about movies, a much more important endeavor in this life. Not really. But anyway, tell us what you've been watching. What's the theme? What are we doing today?
So I heard you guys were talking, you were doing themed Russian songs or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought I would bring to the table not one Russian song. So my theme is really going to be kid shows because I've been sick with Mateo. So we've been binging on a lot of kid shows. And I realize I've never discussed kid shows on this segment. So I thought I would give parents some insight to
some of
the
great... Is that true? We've never done that? I can't believe we haven't done
that. I don't think I've ever recommended any kids shows.
Oh, that's weird.
I think you're right, but that's weird.
Lots of recommendations are okay for kids, but nothing specifically like a set of movies. Yeah.
Well, and these shows I don't mind sitting through. So they're kind of, there's some like, I hate Caillou. I hate him. I hate that kid. I hate that cartoon.
I've never seen an episode of that.
Oh, ask Steven Schleicher about Caillou, and it's like a club. It's like everybody hates
That's
Caillou.
The kids love it. What is it about it the kids love so much?
It's just a little whiny kid, and he's like, me, mommy, me. Oh, I just don't even want to talk about him.
I don't know why it's... sometimes these things... Like, I understood what were the weird things with the one that everyone said was gay? What were they called?
Teletubbies.
I kind of... As weird as that stuff was, you kind of got it because it was very visual and it was crazy to look at and it would totally keep a little kid's attention. And
right.
I get why that was a big deal. But this Caillou deal? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Right. So I have kids shows, but I also, since we're doing a weird thing on Thursday, I thought I would give you a recommendation for a Russian show.
Okay.
It's not a kids show. It's totally separate. And it's not even streaming, but it's such a great documentary. And it's revolving around...
It's not even a movie.
Yeah, it is. It's
Something
a movie.
You imagine.
It's a documentary. But I don't know if you've seen this. It's called Exporting Raymond.
This is something familiar to me somehow, the word you just said.
It came out in 2011. The only way you're going to be able to watch this film is if you pay for it digitally or if you have the Netflix disc.
Everybody exports Raymond, I found it.
Everybody exports Raymond.
Yeah.
So this is about the process that goes on when a show from the U.S., a very popular show like Everybody Loves Raymond, is exported to another country.
Mm-hmm.
So... The creator, the writer of the show, it's a documentary following his journey of trying to make Everybody Loves Raymond in Russia. And what it does is it goes deep into what Russians value. So you get a really interesting look at their culture and what they find desirable. And guess what? Everybody Loves Raymond is totally off the mark because Everybody Loves Raymond is about the everyman. It's about the ho-hum daily life of a guy and his relationship with the in-law. It's not fancy. It's just a slice of life sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
When they tried to do that in Russia, it just went over like a lead balloon.
Because nobody can relate to it.
Well, because they value flashy. You know what show works is like really popular in Russia?
Mm.
That Fran the Drescher voice. Show. No, that Fran Drescher show... what was
the
it?
The
Nanny? The Nanny.
Really?
It's so popular in Russia because she's all, you know, she's fancy. She wears fancy clothes and she's very, you know, and she lives in a, she's a nanny for a very rich man. And it goes into the culture of this. So I highly recommend it. Like, if you're interested in kind of getting a little peek into the Russian culture and what they value, like Britney Spears, and why do they idolize these celebrities?
In Soviet Russia, nanny still has irritating voice.
Well, that's really odd, because I would have expected this, because things are a little harder over there, or have been. So it makes me think that, oh, they would appreciate things that are more true to life, or
no, because I think it
frivolous.
Reminds them how they it reminds them how hard it is.
Yeah. So what you basically describe is that they want things to be, they want to go the other direction. And that's probably indicative of where that culture's headed. Mm-hmm. And in other words, you know, 10 years from now, Russia, that may be all they value at some point. And it will all be about appearances. And I don't know. That's an odd thing. I really want to see this now. You got me.
It's really good. So yeah, unfortunately it's not streaming anywhere, but you can get it from Netflix if you have the disc, or you can pick it up. It's definitely worth a watch.
Brian,
really,
you still do discs, right?
It's funny too. It's really funny.
I actually just added it to the top of my physical disc queue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew somebody somewhere was still doing
it. As soon
as
Tina sends back When in Rome, we're going to get that.
Right. Wait, what's When in Rome? What the hell's that?
The one with Kristen Bell, where she takes pennies from a fountain, and the guys who threw the pennies in.
Dax
Shepard and John Heder, I think.
Was it any good?
No.
I'll tell you. It doesn't sound like a movie I would want to see, but
no.
I never can tell with these lady shows, you know.
Duhamel is in it.
Oh, Josh and, Duhamel?
And Danny DeVito.
Oh. Is it pronounced Duhamel or Demel? Duhamel.
That's the guy that I always get confused with, the Justified guy.
It's Mr. Fergie.
Oh, you mix him up with Tim Oliphant.
Yeah,
oh,
those two are very...
That's interesting. Yeah,
they both have a very, you know, cookie-cutter definition of handsome, mm-hmm. suaveness kind of to him. I could totally see that.
Speaking of Justified, I just finished the last episode of season two, and holy crap.
So good, dude.
Yeah.
Season
that's
two.
That's the one with
Mags.
Yes. She's amazing.
Well, blast the whole time.
It was so weird because I watched two sitcoms. We watch The Millers, mm-hmm. with her on it. Mm-hmm. And then we also watch the Tim Allen sitcom with the young girl.
The new one, Last Man Standing, is that it?
Yes, yes. And so seeing them in that role, they're in a very comedic role, and then I'm like, wait, what? Oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
Mags character, mm-hmm. made us think of the old woman from Goonies.
Yeah,
right. Right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. There's something there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Madge Martindale? What's her real name?
Yeah, Martindale.
Maggie Martindale? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
She's so underrated as a character actor. She's incredible.
She's great.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Really good season. Was this guy in it?
Dermot McRoney?
He's not in it, right?
No.
Okay. Just checking. No. Thanks for checking.
Don Cheeto.
Don Cheeto? Is he in it? All right.
Cheetos. Mm. all right. So anyway, I was talking to the radio.
Don Cheeto.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I wanted to give you that Russian film because it was the only one I could really think of, and it was really great. So, so back on track for themes. I've been, like I said, Mateo and I have been really sick for the past week. So Netflix Kids has been our friend, and I cannot remember who told me about the show. It was on Twitter. So if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but thank you. They recommended a show I've never even heard of, and it's one of his favorites. It's called Tinga Tinga Tales.
Oh.
And it's wonderful. It has a great intro. It's peppy. It's set in Africa, the bright colors, and it's all like the moral to the story types of shows. So why does the elephant have a trunk? Why does the snake have no legs? Why does the hippo have no hair?
So it's all adapted. So according to the description, adapted from African folklore. That sounds really cool.
It's really a fun, fun show. And we sing the song every time it comes on. I don't mind this show at all. I love watching the show. It puts me in a great mood. Mm. Yeah, it's called Tinga Tinga Tales.
All right.
So
I would watch that even. I don't have little kids anymore. I think that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I love folklore and that kind of, you know, evaluation of that stuff.
Especially stuff from cultures you're not used to hearing it from.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, like it's nice to open your mind up a little bit and realize, oh, yeah, other countries and continents, they have little kids, too.
Yeah, they have lore. And
it's not all just drug lords and camels. Like, there's more going on over there.
Yeah,
I think that's good for people. That's great. Yeah. Especially for kids because, you know, Mateo now has a little piece of the world he probably wouldn't have had otherwise if it was all SpongeBob all day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Though he does love
SpongeBob. Nothing wrong with SpongeBob. Don't get me wrong. Up till season four, anyway. Everything after that was a little weird, but.
Yeah. And then we also started watching a new show because it had he's learning words and recognizing animals now. So he was like, kitty, kitty. And there's a little cat on it. And it's called Guess with Jess.
Oh, all right.
And it's a little cat who has a British accent. And each little show will ask the kids questions. So these types of shows, they've done a study where they found that the kids shows that actually interact with the kids are more stimulating for the kid because they're responding. Mm-hmm. So they did a study where they put a kid in a room with a TV that was just kind of very passive type of television. And they studied the brain activity. And then they brought a parent in and interacted, and of course the brain activity went up. But then they tried it with these new cartoons that are asking kids questions like, you know, for instance, how can we make a boat? Or where they're waiting for that response. Bubble Guppies is really good at this too. And they noticed that there was almost no change in the brain activity when a parent interacted versus these types of cartoons that are interacting with them.
Wow.
So you're seeing this more and more with cartoons. This all started with Blue's Clues. You know, the guy would ask the kids, you know, where's the clue? And the kid would interact. And so this type of interaction you're seeing it more and more. And this Guess with Jess is it a good example of that as well.
They were doing that a lot on the Dora stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Where's my map? Where the hell is my map? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. What's your name?
Lots of repetition. Yeah.
Super Y is good with this as well. Bringing, you know, what's your say your name, and they go off and solve the puzzle and whatever.
I want to know what the heck Netflix's search algorithm is, because I did a search for Guess with Jess, and that is the first thing that comes up.
Yeah.
Underneath that is Gunless, then From Paris with Love, Season of the Witch, and then something called Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
What? You know what it is? I know what it is. I can tell you exactly what it is. We have jacked it up because of Film Sack.
Because of Film Sack. These are
for you.
Let me try. God.
Recommendations
Guess
based
Jess.
On a combination of what I search for and what I've already watched.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's what I think my problem is.
Oh, no. I have nude nuns with big guns.
hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. You got your works cut out for you, buddy. You know exactly where to isolate it and what to cut out for me.
I also have Season of the Witch, too, on my list.
It's like one of these moments.
I just got 25% more gas released.
There you go. that's that is the way Netflix works for me completely. Everything is a weird-looking result. And I don't know if that's just because I end up just seeing such weird varieties of things or if... You know, if my son had his own account and went in there, if that's what he'd see too, I don't know.
I think it's
this to our film cycle.
The Nude Nuns one?
Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
I'm in. I'm in. That sounds good. That sounds actually real bad. Like, that's probably just terrible.
I think it's funny that Netflix is thinking I'm going to give it 2.5 stars.
Right.
Yeah, the rating thing on Netflix has always been a problem with me.
Yeah.
Like the first review, don't let the name fool you. While there are plenty of naked nuns, the guns they use are of an average size.
That guy wins the internet today.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great. Well, there you go then. So there's three, and that means everybody's happier because you got three awesome things to do with your kids and by yourself.
I have one more. That was only two shows.
Oh, I thought that we were counting the movie thing. Keep going.
Well, you can't stream that.
I agree.
I'll just do a recommendation that If you're not familiar with the Leapfrog series on Netflix, if you've never looked at any of those shows, they're like little movies. So there's like Leapfrog Numberland, Leapfrog The Amazing Alphabet, Leapfrog Phonics Farm. These are great little shows. This is how Mateo learned his alphabet and his numbers, and he sings with them, and it's adorable. I love them.
Hold on, Leapfrog are the same people to make the toys.
A little
like
yes, the toys, yeah. And they have a whole cartoon line, and all of the cartoons are on streaming Netflix. There's so many of them. They're great. I highly recommend them for kids.
Okay.
So Leapfrog. That I just wanted to make sure people knew, because honestly, I've seen them. It was my mom that started playing them for Mateo, and he loves them. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize. So I wanted to make sure people knew they were really great.
I would have killed for all this extra content when my kids were little.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah, just imagine. All we had was Barney, Teletubbies a little bit. That was on the tail end of it for me. And then Nick was into Bob the Builder like a wild person. But
none of it was like as on demand. Like you couldn't stream it, you know?
No, right. We had to watch it on TV when it came on.
Yeah.
Which, that sucks.
Kids, you don't know how good you have it.
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting feature now in with the Roku 3 Netflix app on these TV shows. You can just hit play and it will keep going to the next episode automatically.
Yeah, ours, the PlayStation 3 app does that.
Yep.
So does
not
the
all of them
app.
Do it.
No. Not yet. Yeah. You're right. Not all of them do it. But the one, like I can tell you right now, as much as I used to really like Apple TV's interface for their thing, that does not have that auto advancing thing, and I don't know why at this point. That needs to be updated.
That's a must have.
That's so annoying because we'll watch. You know, we're watching the Tudors, the Borgias right now. Kim and I, and I love that you can just plop down and wait for the next one. It's great.
Yeah, except when you watch Deep Space Nine as the last thing you do every day, you're laying in bed watching Deep Space Nine, you fall asleep and you wake up and you're halfway through the next episode.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah,
then,
I like that. I want to turn that off on my iPad. I cannot find a way to do
cool
that. It'd
be a cool way. It'd be cool if you could do that just selectively. Yeah. Say, well, just for the show, don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be nice. All right, Nicole. Yes. Nerd Parents. We mentioned that. Nerdparents.com. The iTunes. Everywhere else. Anything else happening?
Lazy Elite today. We got a new show coming out.
Yeah.
It's more gaming. I've been playing the new little mini expansion that came, the DLC that came out for Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm. The constantly ever expanding Borderlands 2.
I know. I love it. I just love it.
Yeah. We need to talk some about that on Friday as well. There'll be a new TFS as well, folks.
Yeah, so definitely.
Watch for that. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Yeah, have a fantastic day.
Bye.
We'll see you later.
See you, Nicole.
Thanks for doing Thursday.
Sounds good.
Bye. Okay. Hold on a second. I have to pull Tom in now. I'm over here.
All right, I'm calling Tom now. Just hold on to your butts, Brian. Tom's coming.
Okay. All right. I'm holding on. Holding steady.
Don't you stress one bit about that. For some reason, the mic didn't freak out, so that's good. So here's this right here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man, as always, on a Thursday, special this week only, is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
Oh, hi. Can you help me with my marital thing?
Help us. I'm going to send you video. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, go for it. Let's see what happens.
Send in video.
Background white when guy. You have a man and a woman in a fight in a marriage... Yeah. They should stop.
Ah, okay. See?
That's why I'm not doing the job that Wendy does.
Thank you for that therapy.
You know, I got to say, even if she's jet lagged, I think she may have had a better solution than Tom
I think
did.
She might have.
But that's okay, because she can't talk about tech to save her life, and she wouldn't even
she
be
doesn't
mad from
know
saying
about
that.
The Comcast Time Warner merger, does she, Scott?
No, and that scares the
Actually,
hell out of me.
Probably does. She probably talk about that.
Everyone's going to need therapy after that.
Yeah,
is this for real? Is that a real thing?
It is now for real. Wow. It was announced this morning that Comcast has offered, I don't remember exactly, 152 point something per share, but $45.2 billion in stock for a merger technically, of Comcast and Time Warner. Charter Communications, based out of St. Louis, was trying to buy Time Warner. In fact, they really were stalking them. It was kind of uncomfortable. They have nominated a slate of hostile directors to take over Time Warner's board to force through an approval of a merger because Time Warner had rejected their bids. But Comcast beat them to it.
Wow.
Comcast offered Time Warner the amount that Time Warner wanted Charter to offer them.
So I smell anti-competitive problems here, big time.
Is that what
Monopoly,
that is?
Yeah.
Well, it could be something else. But no, they these are the two biggest, unless I'm wrong, the two biggest cable providers in the country.
Right.
That also means two of the biggest internet providers in the country.
Correct.
And that means that you would now be merging them into one company, which means who the hell is left to battle such a behemoth? Like, this feels like the definition of anti-competitive laws.
Well, let's back it up a little bit. They are the top two cable television providers in the country. Comcast actually outdistances Time Warner quite a bit. Comcast has 20 million or so subscribers. Time Warner has about 11 million. So Comcast is already way far out in front. They are two big ISPs as well. You're absolutely right. I don't think they're the two biggest one and two like they are in video, but for the sake of argument, they're big enough, right? Here's the deal, though. They don't overlap in any markets. Comcast is making here's Comcast's defense. I'll give you that. Like, look, Scott, I understand your concerns. When AT&T and T-Mobile were trying to take over, they were trying to take over the entire country. Well, we're not trying to do that. We're Comcast. We're nice people. We don't compete with Time Warner anywhere. So we're not going to be taking over a market and eliminating a competitor because we don't compete with Time Warner Cable in any markets. And guess what we're going to do? Just to alleviate your concerns voluntarily and not with any legal implications, we're going to get rid of 3 million of our subscribers. We're going to divest ourselves of some of our operations just to make sure we stay below 30% of the market in the United States. So we're not even going to have a third of the market in the United States. And if that's not enough, Scott, if that's not enough to convince you, you know, when we bought NBC Universal, the FCC made us agree to open internet guidelines, the same guidelines that were thrown out of court. We still have to abide by in order to be able to buy NBC. So what we're going to do is we're going to apply those open internet guidelines to Time Warner Cable subscribers as well. So we're actually spreading the open internet by this. Now, isn't that great for everyone?
Okay. Listen.
Also, we're going to give a lot of advanced technology to Time Warner Cable subscribers. Time Warner kind of sucks.
Yeah, Time Warner blows. All right, look, you know what? Actually, some of those things are okay. I mean, on the surface anyway. But to say that we don't even compete in those markets. This is you now competing in those markets.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but you're not. We have monopolies, both of us, in all of our markets.
Yeah.
We're not changing that.
Right.
But neither market is getting bigger.
That's the upshot here, is like there wasn't any competition to begin with. So how can this eliminate competition?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I've never liked the fact that, you know, you can be in an area and you have maybe two options for ISPs and that's all you're ever going to have. And they're very.
Right, and this isn't going to change that. No. It's not going to increase it.
Right.
But it's not going to increase it.
So in theory, okay, there's one advantage here. Here in Utah, Comcast is highly regarded for their quality of service. Now, I know this isn't true everywhere. There are parts of California where, you know, the devil has horns. But here, for whatever reason, I think it's just because we've got a more spread out infrastructure. I don't know, but it's solid as hell. I've been in this house for, since October, and I've yet to have a single outage. Or a single issue, or a single problem, a blip, a loss of speed.
It's easy to provide good customer service when you don't have problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you never have to call customer service.
Yeah, I guess I want to make a distinction between customer service.
That's a positive thing that you don't have problems.
Right, it is. And so in theory, from our perspective in our community here, them moving to, say, the East Coast and providing better service than what people are used to with Time Warner seems on the surface to be a good thing. But that doesn't always mean that's what's going to happen. The infrastructure is what it is. It's not like they can come in and go, well, now that we're Comcast, suddenly the speeds we've been promising you are there and your caps are gone or whatever the other things are going to change are. They're still limited by whatever the last mile is to everybody's house or how crappy the congested, you know, connections are in the cities and things like that. I don't see how this really benefits those subscribers. They're just going to own it now. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Comcast says we've got some better technology and we can deliver that. But really what this does is this gives Comcast more leverage. right? So in the TV side of things, when they go to negotiate with the providers of the content, with the networks, they can now say, hey, we got 30% of the market. We've got LA and New York. You better give us a deal. And that can put pressure on networks to raise fees with other providers out there.
Right.
That will put pressure on networks not to move faster to make more things available digitally online or strike deals like for an Apple TV situation, which is rumored to have a deal with Time Warner Cable by the end of this year. So we'll see if this affects that in any way.
Yeah.
But it's all good for Comcast, and it's at best neutral for the consumers, as I can see it. If you're a Time Warner Cable subscriber, you might get a better set-top box out of it, but that's about it. Your infrastructure is not going to change overnight.
Right.
The open internet rules are being applied by Time Warner Cable already, even though they're not required to.
Right.
So this isn't going to change anything on that side. It's going to give Comcast more power and more leverage, which is not what we need right now. We actually need more competition, and this doesn't do anything to increase competition. And in fact, you can argue, and free knowledge and public public knowledge have been arguing this, that this will actually dissuade smaller people from getting into the market and make it harder for them to compete. Even though it's not an increase decrease in competition, it's an increase in dominance, and it gives Comcast a lot more power.
Yeah, because there's more to the power than just, oh, we're new, yeah, we're in new areas. There's a lot more to that.
Well, especially on the internet side, right? Now that they have 30% of the homes, when Netflix comes a knocking to say, like, hey, why haven't you increased the capacity of our interconnect? Like, I know you're not blocking us, but the routers that all of our stuff comes in from Akamai and Level 3 are all clogged. You need to add some more routers there. That's part of our peering agreement. Comcast can, once again, which they've tried before with Level 3, go, yeah, you got to give us some more money for that.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit. Like, all those things are scary. To the Apple point, though, I just want to make this comment. The rumors are flying. Apple TV, Time Warner deal. It reminds me of the iPhone and initially being launched as a singular provider. Remember them. And then they got merged or bought by AT&T, and that became, at the time of launch, an AT&T contract. And that was a much bigger, broader, capable ISP, in that they were in more markets and had better coverage and all that. Does this potentially mean, if an Apple TV deal is coming that is tied to a cable provider, if now Comcast owns all of it, that means that those of us who are here, say, in the Salt Lake Valley or you in San Francisco or something, where Time Warner's not currently providing service, we may now all have access to it if we're in Comcast sort of service areas.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good point. I thought you were going to go with the more snotty, this reminds me of the rumor about Time Warner Cable and Apple from a year ago, mm-hmm, or 2 years ago.
All right.
But yeah, that's you make an excellent point, which is, if there is a deal and it stays in place and you can get Time Warner Cable app on Apple TV, theoretically, it would be it could be easily extended to Comcast subscribers everywhere.
Yeah, and then it's all the questions about, well, what does that mean? Is that just them making me subscribe to cable again? And why the crap would I want to do that?
I was talking with Joe about this yesterday. We were setting up some stuff, and he's like, well, if it's not going to save me money, why would I do it? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to have to provide you some monetary savings because you're not having them run cable to your house. You're just using your internet connection.
Right.
And it's going to have to provide some kind of extra something, which I'm sure Apple is on the extra something. Like, we'll have this amazing interface and on demand, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But whether they'll give you a break, my guess is what Time Warner's thinking is, yeah, if you're a Time Warner ISP subscriber, then this will be cheaper.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Well, I mean, they still were so confused when I had the technician come out and do the install. They still don't quite understand why somebody would say, no, I just want your internet connection. I don't want your...
It does befuddle them.
They don't get it. They're like, well, wait, why are you...
Why wouldn't you want TV too?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wants TV.
Yeah. He didn't quite sound money. Like that, but I like that voice. And he was awesome in every other way, but he could never quite get past that. But yeah, if they... I'm really interested in that in the light of this news, and assuming it gets sort of approved and, you know...
Now, that's another question. Is it going to pass regulatory muster? It's not exactly an AT&T and T-Mobile situation where the FCC and the Department of Justice will go, nope, too much consolidation, because of the fact that they don't actually compete, mm-hmm, unlike AT&T and T-Mobile. But remember when Comcast bought NBC Universal, they put a lot of restrictions on them, saying, well, now you own a big content provider as well as the delivery mechanism. increasing that dominance of you own a big content provider and delivery mechanism may not fly. Or it may just mean the FCC wants to put a bunch of other restrictions on them.
Google and Comcast are new overlords moving into the next century.
Yeah, seriously. Google is the only one that actually can foster competition in the ISP space right now. And, you know, the Google is not the scrappy young Google of old, right? They're a big behemoth with their own corporate interests now.
Yeah, and they can be a disruptor, and this is an interesting stuff moving forward, no question about it. Today, I'm really glad we got Tom on, because this is fascinating business as usual.
Yeah.
But what's more fascinating is Tom's ability to sort of octopus his way through the internet with more shows than almost I produce.
I love how you just verbed octopus. That was amazing.
Well, it's never been done before, so mark this day on your calendar.
Breaking new ground.
Yeah, every day. So tell me about what you want to tell me about. There's so much going on. I didn't want to pick. You tell me what's hot right now. What do you want to tell people you're doing?
Well, can I tell them about Today in Tech History?
Of course you can. It's a fantastic show. I love it.
Can I tell them it's a Frog Pants show?
Yes, you can. It's officially on the Frog Pants Network. Yeah.
Can I tell them I've been secretly doing it and I have 600 subscribers already?
Yes. Oh, you mean the Tech History one?
So in addition to the chronology of tech history and, of course, the Amazon Kindle singles that Scott and I collaborate on, I've been posting for a long time. I've been posting Today in Tech History up on TomMerritt.com. And January 1st, I just sort of started recording little 2-minute episodes of a podcast because I'm crazy and started posting those MP3s up there. Some people may have noticed them. So I was like, well, shoot, I'm posting these MP3s. I might as well point an RSS feed at them. So I did that, submitted it to the iTunes store because it kind of automatically does it in FeedBurner. And now it's a podcast. So Scott has been nice enough to say, well, sure, have it on the Frog Pants Network.
Makes
so
perfect
new Frog
sense.
Pants show.
Yes.
It's small. It's a tiny show. Yeah. It's only 2 minutes.
If anything, we're missing a few bite-sized shows. So I'm when I heard you were doing it again, I was like, oh, no, this is good, because it's a kind of a void there on the mega feed. People get a little taste of something instead of, you know, we got lots of hour-long and hour-and-a-half-long things, and why not have a little bite-sized something once in a while, you know?
Yeah, and it's just to sort of like, hey, here's what happened today. Mm-hmm. Of course, because I'm announcing it publicly, finally, today is the day I accidentally posted both the February 13th and February 23rd episodes because of a typo. So some people who already subscribed may go, why am I getting February 23rd?
Yeah.
But that said, most of the time you'll get that day's episode telling you, like, hey, this is what happened on this day in history. Badoopy-doopy-doo. And 2 minutes and you're done.
It's the badoopy-doopy-doo that I look forward to the most.
My favorite part,
It really is good. Tom Merritt is Ace Detect on Twitter. His daily tech news show is on today. You can catch that. Who's your guest? Who's on?
Today I've got Don Reisinger,
a
freelance journalist, often seen on CNET, but elsewhere as well.
He's a smart dude.
I'm really excited about tomorrow's guest.
Who's on tomorrow?
It'll be awesome, I'm guessing.
Well, I've got this guy. I really have admired his podcasting prowess since 2005. He knows music. He's got a beautiful head. Brian Ibbett is going to join.
Oh, that jackass. Jeez. No, that'll be great. In fact, is this the first of that happening on that particular show? I thought it happened before. Oh, that's great.
No.
That's exciting.
I'm excited.
Have you been brushing up on your tech business there?
I have. I've been studying tech.
I searched Google for tech.
Get a Chromecast.
Yeah. Good job.
You got a big book that says tech.
Yeah.
That's I got right, it. Yes.
Google tech.
H17.
Well, that's good. Everyone should tune in for that. That sounds amazing. And, of course, tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, we'll do a brand new Current Geek episode with Tom and I and our guests, Justin Robert Young and Andrew Main.
Current weird geek things.
Yeah. And also, don't trust Andrew Main, apparently.
Don't trust current weird geek
things. Don't trust any of this. That's coming up soon. It's going to be fun. Tom, always a pleasure. Thanks for making the Thursday for us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on Thursday. This is great. I'm glad I didn't have to miss a week.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Aw, thanks, man. Bye now.
That was nice of him to say.
Yeah. Aw.
Everyone's so nice.
Aw.
Let's do now the thing we often do at the end of the show, which is read an email or two.
Yes.
And they're brought to us by.
Brought to you by...
The Good, Bad, or Bullshit Podcast, the show where three guys give you uninformed opinions on topics selected by the Random Topic Generator, trademarked, a one-of-a-kind diesel-powered randomizing engine that we keep in Mike's garage. Please visit gbbpodcast.com and subscribe today.
Beep-de-beep update from Daryl. He says the name Q was chosen by Gene Roddenberry in honor of an English Star Trek fan, Janet Quarton. Starts with a Q. She was the first president of the UK Star Trek fan club, and Gene Roddenberry and others spent many time at her home in the Scottish Highlands, and they named him after her.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty awesome. He also sent us a link of this odd Andalusian horse.
Oh, Andalusian?
Yeah, it doesn't look like an alien at all. That's a big horse, jeez. That's a beautiful horse. Wow. That's a pretty horse. As horses go.
Can you Vulcan nerve pinch it, though, is the question.
No, that's the one. They're immune to it. That's my understanding. Nice. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate the update. Okay, emails. Got a couple of them here. First one from Derek, who says, I know how much Scott loves his Ken Burns documentaries. I do, too. Mr. Burns has just released this nifty iPad app, breaking down 8,147 minutes of content into into hour-long sections. It features clips from all 23 of his documentaries. You can demo the app for free. It costs $10 to unlock all the docs. That's totally worth it. He's also stated that his next 7 documentaries he's working on will come to the app when they complete. Derek. Now, what makes me most excited about that conversation right then is that Ken Burns still has at least 7 documentaries in him. And that's exciting because I would like him to never go away. I really do feel, I feel really strongly about him being a really important voice in history. Documentation, and I feel like him not being here, we are worse for it. So that's good, and I hope he passes his skills on to many, many others so they can keep doing it. I mean, not that he's anywhere near dying. I'm not saying that, folks. I'm just saying. I dread the day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ryan E. Peck wrote in from Orem, Utah. That's about 30 minutes south of me. I cannot throw a rock and hit him. It's too far. Hi.
Please don't.
Says last spring, KSL in Utah, that's the local NBC affiliate, decided not to show Hannibal on its station. This happened a few episodes into the season. Here is a link to the article. Sorry if the mobile link, or it's a mobile link, but I'm emailing it from my iPhone, or my phone rather. Ryan E. Peck from Orem. Okay, so.
I remember that. I totally remember that.
It's starting to ring a bell. I didn't realize it was this show. But it yanked it because of violence at the time. This was reported by the Salt Lake Tribune. The column, the problem is the violence is getting people in trouble. But they are less likely to pull something. The sex is what they had trouble with. The sexual sort of violence of it, not just straight up violence. So they're letting other shows have, this was the big controversy. Lots of shows on the channel, many of them far more violent than Hannibal is. Mm-hmm. And they're fine with those, but they take issue with things like naked body of a woman impaled on antlers, bodies curled up. So
how could they take offense to that?
Yeah, it seems hard, right? And there's a few other things, but
yeah,
it's there was a big talk about it, and people are freaking out. So anyway, Grimm is pretty violent. I don't know why that's not getting pulled, but whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? Like they pulled the Playboy Club and the New Normal off the air, same channels. And keep in mind, this is a very conservative local channel. Always has been. So when they did the remake of that British coupling show or couples.
Oh, right. Yeah. Coupling.
It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. It was dumb and it went off. You know, they canceled it, but they same thing. They wouldn't let it show. For a while, they wouldn't show SNL at its normal time. Like a lot of weird stuff like that. Huh. And my point of this is.
They're very heavy fingered on the censor button.
Sure. And it's, you know what? I'm fine with you being an organization and a company that's looking out for kids and parents. And I'm cool with that. But the way you do it is not shut it off. The way you do it is you educate people so they can make their own choices. Mm-hmm. So let me pick if this is too violent for me or not. Or let me decide.
Right.
Don't you decide. You know, for a community that's real big on personal freedom and not letting people regulate your lives... You sure regulate people's lives a lot, and I know you're not the government, but, you know, let people choose. Let them make smart choices on their own. And let people parent. How about that? Let me parent. Let me tell my 14-year-old what he can or can't do. How about that?
Right.
You jackasses.
Agreed.
Okay. Thank you for that email, and thank you, Ryan. That's it. We're done. Let's call Cleo. Should we try to get Cleo on the line?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Is she around? Should be, yeah.
I haven't seen her in the Tadpool, but
me neither.
Oh, now that you s-
oh crap! Hold on. Hold on. Well, that didn't work. Okay, that worked we really go. Well, as you can.
Yeah,
tell.
I could. Nicely done.
Something came in from Ralph and it screwed us up. So hold on.
Oh, thanks, Ralph.
Jeez.
Thanks a lot.
Ralph, you can call again if you want. I don't know what happened there. Come on. Not on this call. Show all.
Mm-hmm.
What? I can't get Cleo's in here. Hey, Cleo. Oh, there she is. Oh, shit. Carrie. Okay. Okay, now we got it.
We're good, everybody. It's all right. Matt, relax. Calm down.
All right. Okay. Okay. We're good.
Fine. Got her coming. Or at least her little dots are rising.
Oh, here he is. Here, we'll add him to. Can I add him? Add him to the group call. Okay.
You can try. Sure.
All right.
Look at Ralph's thing. Hey. Ralph, what's going on, man?
Hey, sorry, I just called in and heard, oh, crap.
No, you're totally fine. It's something,
right,
something's jacked.
Foretelling your doom.
It is not your fault.
This way everybody answers the phone when I call.
Yeah, it's not just Skype. It's your world. It's your life. What's sorry, dude, what's on your mind?
So I have three quick items for you.
All right.
One of them is AIE turned 7 last night.
Oh, wow. I was supposed to come to that parade, and I got family crap.
They have a bunch of stuff going on. There's a big craft fair this week. I think there's going to be a little Alliance PvP visiting action.
That's good.
So it's a multi-day event. So just show up and say hi.
Nice.
All right.
Well, I'm down with that. It's 7 years. That's a long time. That feels
I
like
know.
Weird.
I'll have to download an update probably to yes. go into World of Warcraft.
My tune is still 85, so... Don't
oh,
feel
wow.
bad.
You okay. never right. you never pushed through 90 in that expansion. I didn't know that. You were too busy with the whatchahoochie.
Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Guild Wars 2, yeah. The other thing, next thing I wanted to tell you was I know you're not caught up on Justified yet.
Yeah. I'm no season 5 yet. See, up till season 4 I'm good, but I haven't done anything
right.
new yet.
I just have to tell you that a bunch of crows move up from Florida up to Harlan.
Yeah.
And the one that they have you hating the most, his name is Danny Crow, and he looks exactly like the lead singer from the Beef Seeds.
Oh, no way. I'm
oh,
into
really?
That.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
In fact, I searched to make it wasn't him.
I'm really excited to catch up because I've been hearing pretty good things about 5. Some people, well, Brian, you even said it seemed to start a little slow for you
it
or something.
It started a little slow, and we're about 3 episodes behind, so we're not.
Oh, yeah. It has kicked in, I would say... The last 2 or 3 episodes that's kicked in. So,
oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
I felt the same way.
I don't even mind the slow episodes of that show. There's something about it where I just...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't mind. I can go slow with it. It's fine with me.
Also, I had started up True Detective, so that kind of covered me until it kicked in.
I hear that's amazing.
It is. Yeah. Also, it's on HBO, so nakedness.
No, sweet. So, tell me it's not Woody Harrelson's nakedness, though.
And no, it was not, but he was in the scene, but...
Is it mostly them bursting into rooms where they're trying to arrest somebody and there's naked people in there? Is that how it works?
No, no.
Okay.
That's usually how it works, though. That is totally...
you are going to like this, though. It's definitely Western. I even got a little Dark Tower vibe the last episode.
Ooh, really?
There's some... McConaughey's character was 4 years undercover and had to do tons of... because he was in narcotics.
Yeah.
So he has all kinds of sort of... hallucinations, visions, and
like the real McConaughey. Then
he may just be acting himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's at home going, "I'm going to prepare for this role. It'd be better if I did." All right. He's saying that
no,
all day.
But they're both completely on top of their game, and the chemistry between them is. It's I like it a lot. It's my favorite thing right now.
We were corrected a bunch on the internet, Brian, during the week about what collaboration they had done before this, and it was EdTV was the movie.
Right.
Let's forget about that.
It was Deep Impact Please. To Armageddon. It is what Deep Impact was to Armageddon as this was to the Truman Show.
Yeah.
But they were in that together. This is a very different thing than that, clearly.
Oh, that's right. He was the brother. Woody was... Yeah, that was bad.
Mm-hmm. Not a good movie at all in any way. No. Bongos and pop.
The third thing I have is that I have started a podcast like everybody.
Yay! What is it?
And it's called Catching Up with Doctor Who. Everybody can go out there to catchingup.tv, and it got on iTunes. The main reason for it is I never watched Doctor Who, and I was embarrassed by this.
I didn't either.
So,
still haven't.
So this is the idea, is it's actually me and Kim Price and Johnny Feisty, and we watch a couple episodes Who each week, and then we do a quick little recap and talk about it on a podcast, because it's not real if you don't podcast about
it. How far in it are you? How many episodes?
Well, we just got on iTunes on Sunday.
No, I mean of the show, of the of
right,
Doctor
so
Who.
We have gone 7 episodes of the show, which is like 3 episodes of our show.
Okay.
Because we cover 2 per episode.
And this is starting with Eccleston, or are you going back further?
No, we started with Eccleston. We're not crazy.
Yeah. What kind of weirdos would you be?
Yeah.
You don't want to go all the way back.
Kim has seen it before, so she knows a lot. And Johnny's seen a lot of it, but it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, I'm the newbie.
You've been pretty caught up, haven't you, Brian?
No. I watched all of the Eccleston season and got into the beginning of the Tennant.
David Tennant?
Yeah, David Tennant season.
Who's the guy on? Who's the guy in the HBO show with the Flight of the Conchords? Who was their agent? What was his name?
Murray.
Murray.
Yeah.
Murray needs to be the next Doctor Who when this is all shaken out. I think that would be epic.
That's hilarious.
Don't you think? That would be so good.
Brit. I'm anxious to see the new guy. Just the pictures of him looks very.
It's a throwback, isn't it?
Yeah,
feels like
we looked at some pictures of some of the old guy. There's one guy that looks like Mo from the Three Stooges.
I
kind of want to hear him do stuff.
Yeah, he would be a great Doctor Who. Mo would be. Oh man,
yeah,
that'd be awesome.
But we're enjoying it, and I love it because it's by myself. It was just too daunting to start out and just try and catch up on all that. With other people, I'm hoping I'll get through it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Do this stuff with other people and you'll be better off. All right, cool. What is the name of it so people can search for it?
Catchingup.tv.
All right.
If you search for it on iTunes, you just do Catching Up With. And then there's a bunch of others, but we end up first because we're new.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's good. That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Thanks. All of your Doctor Who watching experiences be better than the last. And happy birthday, AIE. And now go play Guild Wars, you traitor. Just kidding.
All right.
Bye, Ralph.
I must. It's just.
Oh, I cut him off mid word.
I didn't need to. All right, we're going to try Cleo one more time.
Okay.
Whoops. Hold on. I don't think she was answering ever.
She may have heard yesterday that we weren't doing a show today and said, well, to heck with those guys. I'm going to go get some coffee, please.
And I don't blame her. So let's see how we do here. Got the three dots rising and going, rising forever. Show she's online, but that was immediate.
Mm-hmm.
As we have learned.
Yes.
Through our extensive experience with Skype.
Yeah, your online status, ineffectual.
Nothing is as it seems.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to assume she's not there.
Cannot be trusted. Then everybody this week gets all the points.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Or yes, everybody, you all win.
Congratulations, everybody, really.
You get a trophy. And you get a trophy. All right, let's get the H out of here. Oh, we got another something here from... Nope, no update from Daryl. Never mind, something else unrelated. Let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody for being here. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Support our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. We've hit our first big goal. There are more down the road, and you can help us get there.
Yeah, even just giving a buck. Just you know, throw a buck our way.
Yep,
a month, and that helps us out so much.
Just to clear up some confusion, the thing we unlock now is for big bona fide prints, like big color art prints from the store,
right,
with signatures from both Brian and I. This is a separate thing I'm doing with the daily sketches that will go out to random winners, which we explained earlier this week on the show. So if you missed that, we'll have something written up somewhere to explain it. But I did one today, did one the other day. I've got a whole stack already started. These are going to go to Happy Homes.
That's right, and you'll continue off another one and during the last song.
That's right. Keep drawing, baby. That's the answer. What else? TheMorningStream@gmail.com. I mentioned that. At Morningstream on Twitter. At Scott Johnson on Twitter for me. And at Coverville for Brian. Coverville today?
there will be a Coverville today.
Yay!
And let me tell you what's going to be on it. So basically, obviously Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A lot of musicians, famous musicians, got married on Valentine's Day, including folks like Elton John and the Captain and Tennille.
Aww. Aww. Muskrat Susie and Muskrat Sam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a cover, by the way. They didn't originally do that.
Damn
if you can
it.
Believe that. Yeah.
Oh,
but anyway, so that's so we'll probably have some tributes to those who got married on this day. Robbie Williams turned 40 today, as did Ali Campbell, lead singer of UB40, turns 55. This week. So
wow.
A tribute to UB40, a tribute to Robbie Williams, and by way of Robbie Williams, probably take that as well.
Yeah.
And marriages.
You know,
musical marriages.
You know how UB40 guys should celebrate?
With some red wine.
That was totally it. A nice glass of red wine.
Yeah, sorry. I stepped on your joke.
No, I knew you were gonna get it because you're music man, and that's how this goes. What time airs? Remind, what was it?
It'll be around 2 p.m. today at coverville.com/live.
Cool. And this chat room will be there, so you guys can just hang out all
yes.
day, be here all day. Who cares? All right, great. Let's play a song to remind us all that music truly is the international language of love.
Wow. Well done, sir. Yeah, another request. As a matter of fact, this one, I love it when I can do this, but I'm tackling two requests in one. Kenny says, hey guys, Thursday the 13th is my quarter century birthday, and to celebrate my 25th year of existence, I was hoping for a cover of one of my favorite songs, Rush's Tom Sawyer. If there isn't anything TMS worthy, I'd appreciate anything of the progressive / metal variety. Love the show though, Kenny. Now, Master Don Terhar also says, good morning, young men. As my chronological calendar nears the 65th anniversary of my gestation's end.
Whoa.
Wow, we have a 65-year-old listener that we haven't ticked off yet. I would like to request any strange and loud birthday song, your choice. My overarching feeling for the show is of a rather amorous state.
Wow. This dude is serious, man.
He is. So going out to both of those guys, how about a loud, raucous cover of Tom Sawyer by Rush? And I can think of nobody who does it better than Mindless Self-Indulgence from their 2005 album You'll Rebel to Anything. Here they are with their cover of Rush's Tom Sawyer.
Sounds good to me. We'll be back tomorrow. No, sorry, Monday with a new show. It does feel like Wednesday. It's weird. Yesterday was such a write-off.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff tomorrow. The Instance, brand new episode, and of course, Current Geek and the Final Score and a new film sack this weekend. Plenty to be hearing when we're not on the air with the Morning Stream. Thank you all for being here. Here's Tom Sawyer. See you on Monday. What you say about society?
about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Where's the wiener?